Music and Booze with Mo is co-produced and distributed by Nitty Grits, the media division of the National Food and Beverage Foundation, changing the world one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink.
To sleep on the knees, fun for your toes, plantain. To fill up your belly, to fun your face, grass for making your bed,
mosquitoes.
Today's guest is the oh so lovely Kiwa Bryan. She is the national brand rep for Spearbaum, which includes rums. She's actually the rum specialist, the rum rep within that brand. And those rums are Rum Clement, Rum Jam, Bounty Rum, Chairman's Reserve, Admiral Rodney, lots of great rums that she represents that I enjoy drinking. So it was fun to talk with her and the efforts that the brand and herself are putting out there during this time of health crisis around the world, putting out there to help the bar industry, to help those who have lost their jobs because of said crisis. But not only that, we'll learn about agricoles, because that's something that people want to know more about. And we're going to hear about her early bartending days and musical theater days. You know, I have a soft spot for musical theater, so let's get to the interview. So go ahead. Tell me who you are and what you do.
Awesome. Hi. I am Kiwa Bryan. I live in lovely Los Angeles and worked in the hospitality business I've been in the hospitality business, I guess, for over 20 years now, starting out as a bus girl at a ski resort in Vermont where I grew up, and then ran bars in Los Angeles for... about 10-15 years.
Wow.
And then for the last actually probably like 10 years, let's not age myself too much. And then the last five years in bartending, I really developed an appreciation for rum specifically, and that was all kind of sparked by Martinique Rum Agricole. So I, as a bartender, took it upon myself to force my way into a job working with a rum agricole company. I've spent the last 5 years working with Spearbaum, which is a collection of rums from Martinique. We also bought a distillery in St. Lucia in 2016. So we have like a really lovely range of molasses and sugarcane juice rum from Martinique and St. Lucia. So spent my time traveling around the country and educating, as well as doing events. Now I do much more of the virtual education, if you will, from my computer in my house in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's by the time this posts, I suspect that we'll still be in lockdown. So during this time, you've been very busy. Actually,
because a lot of bartenders are out of work, but the brands still seem to be working like crazy right now.
I would say, like, obviously the majority of my team is not able to work as much as they were before, because most of their job is in sales and, like, relationships with distributors, and unfortunately many distributor reps, especially in the on-premise, have been put on furlough for the moment. But all we really have to hold us up right now is the marketing part of things, and you know, getting in touch with consumers and doing educations virtually. So I myself have been keeping pretty busy. I also decided, because I can't have idle hands in any capacity at any time.
Me neither.
One of my dear friends is the CEO of a nonprofit that was actually supposed to launch in March at Bartenders Weekend, called Another Round, Another Rally. And I'm on the board for that. So I kind of jumped in there when, you know, they're it is like a dire time for many of our friends on the hospitality business, and they went from like intending to launch this nonprofit, you know, a small launch in March, to then this happening, and the whole reason for their nonprofit was to help people in the hospitality industry. So, you know, 90% of everyone that I know lost their job on the same day. So I've just been helping out there with their marketing, and I mean, they've had over 70,000 hospitality workers apply for grants in the last month and a half. So trying to, like, help them get things organized. They didn't intend on, having to become a fully functioning company in a matter of a month. So,
another rally, right? Is it for anyone who wants to look into that? I didn't realize that I only heard of them when this lockdown started, but I didn't realize they hadn't even launched yet. That's incredible.
it was put together, you know, it was put together about a year ago, but it takes a while for nonprofits to get, you know, all the paperwork figured out and whatnot. So, it was really supposed to launch at the Deuces event at Bartender's Weekend, which was going to be the big... Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we did a big promo for that.
Anyway,
just
I'm
staying
busy.
No, we did a big promo for that before that ended as well. So within Spearbaum, tell me about Spearbaum.
Spearbaum has kind of changed names a couple times throughout my tenure there. It started out as Rum Clamont USA. So Rum Clamont was their first brand. Then in 2002, they bought Rum JM, which is another brand from Martinique. Mm-hmm. And then in 2016, they bought St. Lucia Distillers, which is the only distillery in St. Lucia. So it is Chairman's Reserve, Bounty Rum, and Admiral Rodney. So we have, you know, five brands under our umbrella. And basically our company... You know, they, instead of going the traditional route of having a portfolio of spirits and trying to basically, like, take up a spot in each place in the well, we collectively decided to just kind of be the rum specialist and have different types of rum. So if people want, like, a lesson on rum in general, or they want to kind of, you know, have a variety of different styles of rum on their back bar, they can just call us and we can teach them about all of the rum.
Yeah, I was going to say, a little something styles for everyone, right?
Exactly. And we have a couple liqueur brands as well. So, which are made with a rum base. So, you know, still in the same family. And spiced rum, which is a huge traditional type of enjoying rum in St. Lucia. That's when you go to St. Lucia, that's like the locals just all make their own spiced rum, because cinnamon trees are everywhere. And Bois Bondé, which is like a local tree bark that everyone puts in everything. So it's a natural aphrodisiac. So like that's a huge part of the St. Lucian culture as well. So we have a couple spiced rums as well. But,
wait, did you say the bark was an aphrodisiac?
I've
not heard that as a selling point yet.
Right? I mean, here's the thing, though. In the Caribbean islands, like, whether it's legit or not, everybody has these sometimes myths, but, you know, who knows? Maybe
it's part of the magic,
a placebo effect. Yeah, it might be a placebo effect. Who knows? But everyone believes that certain things, I mean, in St. Lucia, they per capita drink, I think, like, the second most amount per capita of Campari. Because nobody really knows why. It's just like, oh, well, my grandma told me that this is supposed to make me, like, you know, have prolonged vitality and, like, sexuality. So I just drink this. I don't. And, like, even the 20-year-olds down there, like, the kids down there are just like, well, we didn't really like it to start, but, like, it's what we, you know, it's always been in our family, and everyone's always drinking it, so now we enjoy drinking it. So
that's amazing.
It's very much part of the culture. Nobody really knows why. They just know the effects that it's supposed to have, so they do it because it's just what they were taught.
And that's an ingredient in some of the spiced rums down there. That's hilarious. I love that. It seems like
exactly.
You could do some Valentine's marketing around that. Right? The purported, you know.
Actually, I know this is a musical podcast. There is actually a song called Bois Bondé by this gentleman named the Mighty Sparrow, who he sings about Bois Bondé, and like he is known as the King of Calypso and like the most famous Calypso musician that there ever was. But he sings a whole song about Bois Bondé, and the lyrics are a little
risque,
you know, might be a little touchy, but
not safe for
quite
work.
Quite an old song, maybe not. Not
you're gonna have to send me that
right now, but
yeah, you're gonna have to send that to me.
Instagram live with my friend Zan Kong, who works at Worthy Park.
I know Zan. I didn't realize that's the one you were doing yesterday. That's awesome.
Well,
he lives in Jamaica, right?
Because we did it from Jamaica, and we were supposed to do it actually about like the song lyrics and how they tie to these, you know, like magical sexual potions of the Caribbean, because it's literally all about that. In Jamaica, you have Magnum tonic wine, which is completely like their whole message is like sexual messaging. But yeah,
sex sells.
Ironically, it does, and such part of the Jamaican culture is like. I mean, also it's so hot down there. Like, it's not like anybody's wearing a ton of clothes or anything.
That's true. That is true.
And the whole dance hall culture is like, you know, it's grinding and not wearing a lot of clothes.
There is like
a lot of Magnum,
right? There is an inherent like sexiness in the Caribbean. I my family's Colombian, so we're from Cali, which is more where the river is, but you've got Cartagena, which is the Caribbean. And then I spent a little bit of time in Cuba, and I just remember being there, and everybody was very sexy and encouraged to be so in the most welcoming, friendly way. And I'm like, oh, it feels really safe to be strutting stuff around here. This is kind of great, you know? So it's a lot of fun.
And I also feel like because the dance is so ingrained in it, that it's not so like, it's not such a, you know, like just sex. It's like,
right.
I feel like dance is such a part of the sexual culture down there that, I don't know.
It's lighthearted
and
fun.
And music and, exactly. Yeah. It's all tied together. It's not, like, separated.
Yeah, some cultures get really, some cultures, like, here, get really, really uptight about some of that stuff, and other folks don't. It's a lot more fun when you don't, I think. So back to the rum.
Right.
I love all of that, but back to the rum, since you said that you fell in love with agricole. And that's sort of what got you into this. And I noticed, gosh, I guess it's been a couple of years now, I felt that bartenders were replacing the mezcal with agricole, in the sense of mezcal was the cool thing for a long time, and now agricole's been the cool thing. You know, I think bartenders are enjoying using that funkiness and creating something interesting.
For sure.
Yeah, I would think that this has been like a boon for you, in a sense. What made you fall in love with agri-pole? Sorry. No, it's all right. We can't see each other, so we're going
to
interrupt.
No, it was that same type of thing. And funny that you should say that, because I think I fell in love with agave spirits first and got to know them. And I think being that, in Southern California, we're geographically somewhat close to Mexico. And there's a lot of really great bars and restaurants that have extensive agave menus.
And that was my first love, too. And I grew up in San Diego, so probably the same reason, you know. That's what we learned first.
And it's interesting, in Southern California with agricole rum, we do sell quite a bit more of the unaged agricole rum in Southern California than some pockets of the country. And I think that's why, because that green vegetal, like mineral, fruity flavor profile that we're so used to with agave spirits, especially Southern Californians. Like, I think we innately, we're
comfortable with
to,
it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's not something that's new to us, and the Mexican cuisine here is just outstanding. So a lot of those.
Yep.
I mean, Rivera was one of the first.
Yeah.
One of the first restaurants that I really in Los Angeles that I really had started appreciating cocktails at, and they had quite an extensive agave list as well. So, and that was 12 years ago now.
Oh wow!
I mean, it must have been maybe a lot. I don't know. between 10 and 13 years ago, for sure. So, I think we were a bit ahead of the curve with using agave spirits in California, for sure. And that was like a natural progression into agricole. Like I said, I really started loving agave spirits. And then I went into rum. And I mean, it was just one of those moments. One day I was working at Soho House, actually. Mm-hmm. And I opened Soho House in West Hollywood, in 2010. And I just noticed that the rum was spelled different on that bottle of Clément, actually. It was spelled R-A-R-H-U-M. And I didn't know why. And so I just started researching it. And ironically, my now boss came to teach a class at Soho House during that time, and I didn't put two and two together until actually I didn't know enough at that time. Like, I was just getting my feet wet with classic cocktails and whatnot, so I remembered him coming in, but I didn't put two and two together that it was him and that was the brand that he had presented until a year into working this job, where he was like, I did a presentation at Young's Market for Soho House. And I saw that bottle. I realized I loved that product, and so I started researching it. And then the more I researched it, the more I fell in love with just the culture of Martinique. And flash forward to a couple years later, and I was working at the Evoli, and I kind of forgot about the whole how much I loved the what rum with an H was. Dave Kaczynski, who I worked with, had made me a tea punch for my shift drink. I was done, and he was like, try this. You seem to like that French rum that we have. Try this. And that was really what sold me. I was like, what is this? This is the best cocktail I've ever had. It seems like it's kind of like a caipirinha, but it's not at all. And it's just so much more aromatic. And so that was when I really dived deep into researching the culture of Martinique. And I figured out how to get there. And this was when there were not very many routes to get there from the United States.
Yeah.
So it was 24-hour flight or 24-hour trip with four or five layovers.
Oh, my God.
$1,600 to get there and back round trip. And I just, I went down there, and luckily, my now boss, Ben Jones, was gracious enough to show us around the distilleries and stuff when we got there. But it was actually with myself and Julian Cox and Paul Sanguinetti went down there 6 years ago, maybe longer.
Wow.
That was my first time down there. And then I basically put a job proposal together and gave it to Ben Jones, my now boss, every 3 or 4 months for a year. And eventually he agreed to meet with me at Tales of the Cocktail and gave me a job. So
you conned your way into the gig then, huh?
Yeah, I just wasn't taking no for an answer.
That's so
aggressive enough. I just knew that I didn't want to peddle and push a brand that I didn't believe in and that I didn't want to drink every day. So It makes it a lot easier when your like passion is behind, when you're saying the words every single day. It's much easier if you know your passion is behind it. So
that's incredible. I love that. That's an amazing story. I mean, I know, you know, the first time I think I met Ian Burrell, who is Rum Ambassador to the World. Remember asking him like, so how did this gig even happen? And he said, I made it up and I just did it. Like, that's incredible.
Yep.
If you can make that work. And I think during this time where so many people are locked at home and stuck, there's a lot of creativity that's coming up because we humans can't help ourselves. And hopefully there'll be a lot of interesting good stuff that come out of it. Speaking of you and bartending, you said that you started bartending a while ago. We don't have to throw out numbers if we don't want to age ourselves, because I do it to myself all the time. I'm like, shoot, they know I'm an 80s kid. That means no more math. So what got you started in the hospitality industry?
I grew up in Vermont and I wanted a free ski pass, so I got a job at the local resort so I could get a free ski pass. So that was when I was 16. And then I actually was a figure skater for my entire, like, younger adolescence.
Seriously?
And
I love that.
Yeah.
I think I know another figure skater as well, a former figure skater who's now a chiropractor. I will have to introduce you guys at some point. She drinks a lot of rum, too.
Interesting.
Yes.
Hmm. I would love to meet said person. That's mm-hmm. great.
Mm-hmm.
I did that, and so I eventually got too old and basically grew boobs. And hips, and my center of gravity like got thrown off. So I was like, do I relearn how to do all these jumps and continue to do this and like live with my parents and train, or do I get out and do my own thing? So I decided to start teaching, and I moved from Vermont to New Jersey, and I got a job teaching at the South Mountain Arena, where the New Jersey Devils train, but it was like, you know, like it is with most private instruction, I had like a half an hour here and a half an hour there, and I needed to fill the rest of my time and pay my bills, so I got a job at the bar across the street from my apartment when I was 18, and I started working as a hostess, and then one of the bartenders came into work drunk on a Saturday night and fired him. So they threw me, I was like the spare hostess, so they threw me like behind the bar to help bar back at the age of 18. And then I did well, so I started bar backing on the weekends and serving during the week. And within like 6 months, I was bartending 5 nights a week there. So,
wow.
I don't know how legal it was to be bartending. I think in New Jersey it might be more legal. I'm not sure. I mean,
there are age limits.
Smoking
different
was
age
still definitely
right.
happening in those bars at that time. Like that's how it was. It was quite a while ago. So
yeah. Well, yeah, at what point did you kind of realize that like you were all about hospitality and spirits industry and all of that? I mean, because you've been doing it for a long time now, and I figure at some point the light comes on, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to keep doing this. This works for me.
Yeah. No, you know what it was? It was when I moved to L.A. When I was in New Jersey, I was teaching the skating, and I also did a lot of musical theater growing up. So I was trying to audition in New York, because I was right outside New York, for acting stuff, and I still was, like, really into acting and theater and whatever. But when I moved to LA, I realized I wasn't so into the like film and TV part of acting and that auditioning side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I found more of a community in the restaurant side of things, which was kind of opposite how I felt when I was in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I felt more of a community in the acting and theater side of things in New Jersey, whereas in LA, you know, LA's an isolating place when you first moved here. And it's kind of difficult to find your friend group and all that, and I found that in hospitality,
mm-hmm.
and I found like people to be warm and real and not fake in the hospitality side of things. So that was kind of where I fell in love with that family aspect. And then it wasn't until I started working at Soho House that I realized that I had previously been, you know, kind of a shitty bartender and like you know, had never picked up a jigger before and was like really cocky about like how I knew how to make every drink perfect and I didn't need to measure anything. And so, yeah, at Soho House, they put us like through a very rigorous 2-week training where we were doing drills at Chaconi's at 6 a.m. every morning. And
wow.
Yeah, and we were down at Young's Market every afternoon doing spirits trainings, and it was fantastic. I mean, I am like, I've learned invaluable skills and would not be where I was today if it wasn't for that crazy intense 2 weeks of like 9-to-5 drills and training we went through. And yeah, I developed a whole new appreciation for craft cocktails, and, you know, that was Chris Ojeda, who had opened up the Varnish, ran that situation. And so it was when Kamsa was big here, and like, I don't know, the whole milk and honey influence what we were taught there. And there's so many people that went through that training at Soho House that are all over the world now running programs, and, you know, that came up through that little 2-week, 3-week training system and opened up Soho House together. So yeah, that's where I really developed an appreciation for the craft cocktail scene. And I owe basically owe my career to that training, because I don't know if I would have, that light bulb would have gone off if it hadn't have been for that training there.
Well, you know, the work that you did before that wasn't quite as fancy, we'll say, at least that prepped you for the, you know, how to set up your bar and prepping your bar and kind of how to deal with all the people coming through, so that you had that down. You didn't have to think about it by the time you were learning the particulars of the craft, you know, within there and everything. That's amazing.
True. I mean, I also worked at Starbucks for a year and a half, 7 a.m. shifts at the age of 18. So I think that honestly prepared me to be able to handle any sort of guest at 7 in the morning before they've had their coffee. So,
I used to work in a bakery when I was 18 as well, and we had a drive-through. It was a drive-through bakery and cafe, so I feel you on that for sure. Those like 6 a.m. people who need their coffee and their muffin, you know, on the way to work.
Right. It's not much different than the 2 a.m. people who are pissed off that your bar is closing and want one last drink, honestly. So between the two, I guess, prepared for everything.
Right.
For this one.
I wanted to roll back to something you said that perked up my ears, because I am a musical theater nerd. And I have to say that during the course of the 2.5 years I've been doing these interviews, I think that has only come up twice. And it was Jillian Rose, who used to work at Blackbird Ordinary in Miami, but now she's a Bacardi rep. She does like events for them.
Cool.
Jillian Rose and Lynette Monero of Speed Rack fame. Because she also was, she actually performed quite a lot in off-Broadway theatrical kind of stuff. She's a singer too. So I have to ask you, you like musicals?
I do.
Watch the Sondheim thing this weekend?
You know what? I hadn't watched the whole thing yet. I've just seen a couple clips. Mm-hmm. I need to go back and watch the whole thing.
You do. It will make you cry towards the end.
Yeah, I am sure. I will say that there is this person that we have found during, actually, my boyfriend's brother introduced us to this guy who does Instagram Lives a few days a week. His name, I'm going to have to get back to it, Brandon something. I'm going to try and find it over on this call, but he does like an hour set 3 days a week. And he just does Brandon James G.
Okay.
Yeah. And he is the producer of Trixie Mattel's Two Birds in One
Stone.
Oh,
so wow. Okay.
he's in his apartment by himself, and he just does these musical like concerts 3 days a week that are so great. Sometimes he changes the words a little bit. Sometimes he does Disney. But that has been my like constant whenever he goes live on Instagram. I'm like, all right, here we go. Time out. We're going to watch this. This is awesome.
Oh, that's amazing. Amazing. So I have to ask you, since you, I guess, were considering going into that and doing some of that, that means you must have sung at some point in your life. And you mentioned to me that you played piano too.
I did. And I will say that like during this time of quarantine, while I have been staying busy, I've been trying to get back into that a bit because my keyboard was super dusty. And actually, my friend Aaron Hayes has been requesting that I learn a bunch of Sia because we both love Sia. So I've been playing a lot of Sia lately and singing a lot of that.
What's your favorite Sia track to sing? Do you have just one?
I'm In Here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that song. I'm In Here, it's called. It's the lesser known one, but one of my favorites. But I've got Chandelier pretty good. I'm pretty good on that one. I guess with the musical theater thing, like, it wasn't necessarily conducive to bartending at night and also doing the theater. So that's, at some point I needed to make money instead of doing the off, which what I only ever got were off Broadway shows that didn't pay me anything. So.
Were they standards? Were you doing like revival kind of stuff, or what were they new?
I mean, honestly, most of the stuff I ended up doing in New York, it was mainly off Broadway. They were mainly straight plays and not any musicals that you'd ever heard of. But I was more when I was in Vermont, I did a lot of regional theater. I was with a regional theater company and did a lot. We did 3 shows a year, and I loved it. I still did the skating at the same time, and it was hard to do both because skating was very intense and the training was very intense. That theater was always like my other love. It was kind of just like a hobby passion project, and I don't know. I would say probably my favorite musical that has since gone on Broadway, and I think is coming to Pantages, is Once on This Island, which is super ironic because now, years later, I'm realizing that it's either about Martinique or Haiti.
Oh my God. That's amazing. I'll have to keep an eye out for it because I usually hit Pantages a couple times a year if I can.
Well, I mean, it was supposed to be at Pantages, I think, this summer, but who knows what's going to happen there. But it was on Broadway. It was a Broadway revival a couple of years ago, and I went to see it. And it made me cry for like the solid 2.5 hours. So.
That's what it's supposed to do.
Definitely recommend it.
Okay, I will definitely look up that score. I'm sure there's a cast recording out there that I can listen to.
Because
I don't know it.
Sure.
That's awesome.
Actually, after tonight, after this call, now I'm probably, I know I have the piano music, so that's probably what I'm going to do tonight.
I love that. So if someone handed you your ideal role, what would it be if you got to perform in a musical?
I've always wanted to be Glenda in Wicked.
Pardon?
I've always wanted to be Glenda in Wicked.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. I love that.
I just really like that.
Do you have a Kristen Chenoweth range? She's kind of the queen of that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to work on it. I was a soprano, like in chorus singing, but never in a solo role, I guess.
So I definitely
can hit the notes, but I don't know if I would if I would be able to have the I would definitely need to practice it and gain the confidence to do that,
right? But I was just asking, you know, a dream role anyway. You don't have to be perfect at it. I would be singing, like, I'd be doing Anita from West Side Story in my shower.
That's a good one.
That's the only way.
Anita would be a good, now that you say Anita, it reminds me that
Evita is also amazing too. That is, and we're back in South America again. There we go.
Right.
We got the Caribbean thing going. I know.
Right.
So if you're going to sit back and listen to that score this evening, then what will you drink while you're doing so? It's Once Upon an Island?
Once on This Island. I'm for sure going to drink rum.
That's
which rum? Probably it would make sense to drink a French rum, and I have plenty of those. So, I don't know. Maybe I will drink one of these vintage Rum JM. I have a 2003 10-year vintage. Probably sip on some of that.
That sounds like a good way to kind of forget what's happening out in the world right now.
Right? Between that and the music, I think that's like the best way to drown out the noise of life right now.
Yeah, seriously. So you've, like I mentioned at the beginning, you've got a lot going on. So I think let's let people know. We've actually been chatting for like a half hour, which is amazing. And let's let people know how they can find you, or if you have, you could do like rum recommendations. Give your advice. What's the Kiowa advice for helping us get through the crisis we or the lockdown that we're in right now?
Right. I know that, you know, it depends on what you whatever you like, drink. I don't think anything needs to be too complicated. If you want to like learn how to make a cocktail you've never made before, I mean, obviously now is the time, but I feel like less is more. And honestly, like, I'm just going to go back to a tea punch, which is my favorite thing and is the easiest thing to make. And as long as you have, you know, the Holy Trinity in your house, you have some rum, you have some citrus, and you have some sugar, you can make a tea punch, which is the tiniest bit of lime. If you were to cut a lime into like 64 pieces, because basically in Martinique, the limes are expensive, so they're not trying to waste any, and they're trying to stretch them as far as possible. A little teaspoon of whatever, or not even a teaspoon, maybe a half teaspoon of whatever sugar you have in your house. And, you know, preferably French Martinique rum, but you can use whatever you have. That's what quarantine is all about, is adapting. Right? And I know how awful it is to go to the grocery store these days.
Yeah, seriously. So,
yeah, and then give that a little mix up, and that's how everybody drinks their rum in Martinique, which that cocktail that I fell in love with rum with is the tea punch. So yeah, use what you have in your cabinet. Honestly, I mean, that's what I've been doing. Cabinet cocktails are what it's all about right now. Yep. If it sounds like it's gonna taste good together, I mean, experiment. Why not? You have time.
Right. It's true. It's true. Have a little paradise in a glass. So how can people find you if they want to? I know you've got an Instagram handle and all that.
I do. I am Rum Muffin, R with an H, so R-H-U-M-M-U-F-F-I-N on the Instagram.
And people can keep up with your adventures that way, right?
Absolutely. And I do a little Tea Punch Tuesday every Tuesday at 4 o'clock Pacific with a different, sometimes rum person, sometimes just industry person. So
very cool.
You can hit me up on either of those things and... Yeah.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today. I appreciate it.
I'm in here. I'm trying to tell you something. Can anybody help? I'm in here. I'm calling out, but you can't hear. Can anybody help? Can you hear my call?
Again, super special thanks to Kiowa for jumping on the phone with me. She's such a fixture in LA, although she represents all across the nation. But she's taught us all so much about all sorts of rums, those agricole rums, and is just such a great presence and works really hard for everyone in the hospitality industry. So it was definitely an honor to have her on the show. And she has a great, great playlist for you. So check the Spotify out. Again, if you want to find her on the social media, check out at Rum Muffin, that's with an H, R-H-U-M-M-U-F-F-I-N, Rum Muffin. And, you know, go give her a follow. And definitely give her likes. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search SheBMO on Spotify, SheBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.